Welcome to the Troy Martinson Group Real Estate Podcast. Troy Martinson and the members of his group are licensed real estate agents in the state of Minnesota with the brokerage RE/MAX Results. They can be found online at sweethomeminnesota.com. Now, here is Troy Martinson.
Hello and welcome to the show. With me in the studio, as always, is the producer here at Minnesota Podcasting, Marshall Saunders.
Hi, Troy. How's it going?
It's going great. How you doing, Marshall?
I'm doing all right.
Got a few new team members here, Nolan and Maynard, and would love to just kind of introduce everybody to these guys and kind of let them get to know them a little bit.
Maynard, what's the market like for you?
Pretty busy.
Yeah.
From what I'm seeing, you know, I had a few clients that we, you know, booked showings and before we got there, gone. Didn't even get a chance to see the house.
Oh, houses selling quicker than you can show them.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Is that still going on? The multiple offers, the home's gone before you can even get a showing?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I know both these guys have experienced that. Nolan, you've run into that too, right?
Yeah, with multiple clients at this point, yeah.
Is there a certain price range that you see that more in, or is it higher?
Definitely in the lower price range.
Okay.
I think the two or three times it's happened to me, it was all in the 250, 300 range.
Okay. So first-time home buyers, typically?
For me, one of them was a retired widow looking to downsize.
Hmm.
And then in the other case, the other example I'm thinking of, it was two first-time home buyers.
And is there a certain price range that's kind of quiet right now? Because I got neighbors that, you know, I meet them when I'm walking the dog, and they got their home for sale, and all they could do is just complain that they never get a showing. And, you know, they read all these news reports that the market's so hot, and they always, of course, say, well, my realtor sucks because I haven't gotten a showing, right?
Right.
And I usually counsel them that, you know, different price ranges, different areas are very different. But my neighborhood's seeing a lot of slowness and a lot of quietness.
Yeah, it definitely depends on area and price range. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no question. Like Nolan was saying, I think anything under 300, you're going to, you know, in particular areas, you're going to see a lot of activity and probably a multiple offer situation. You get into that 350 to 600 range, and it kind of gets flat.
But the general principle, wherever you go, mm-hmm. is if it's quiet, if it's, you know, selling slow, it's overpriced,
right?
Bottom line, right? Or if there's too many for sale in, mm-hmm. in one specific area, like my high-rise building I'm renting in right now, mm-hmm. I'm on the way out, moving out, but there's, you know, I mean, my landlords have put our unit up for sale, and I'm not optimistic about it because there's about 12 others for sale in the same building.
What price range is that in?
They're starting ours at $269,900.
Okay. But there's many others for sale.
Yeah.
The old standard, supply and demand.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no secret to it, I don't think. Well, I brought Nolan and Maynard on. They're young guys. They're got a fresh perspective on things. So I'd just love to ask a couple questions and kind of get their perspective. So Maynard, give me your story and tell me a little bit about yourself.
From Guyana, moved up here in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
Went to school up here pretty much all my life.
Where'd you go to school?
High school, I went to Kennedy and then Minneapolis Business College in Roseville. Took accounting, and it was just a matter of I was terrible at accounting in high school, so I went with that for college. Graduated, started working at the bank. With TCF was my first place. Hmm. Worked at Teller, you know, for a couple of years. Moved on, went out to U.S. Bank, moved on to another bank.
Yeah.
As well as bank, and then longest time I was at Mercedes.
Selling cars?
No, I wasn't selling cars at Mercedes. I was running the shop in Mercedes.
Ah.
So
okay.
It's just a matter of, I like being around cars.
Yeah.
Cars is just one of my go-to thing.
Yeah.
I like cars.
Yeah. Now you're selling for Toyota. What got you into real estate? How come you came to join the team? And
real estate, that happened on Facebook. You know, my generation, we live on Facebook, we live on social media. So it's a matter of, you know, just scrolling up and down, came across this little short video on how you can do things within real estate. So, you know, did some research, wrote up my own contracts. We actually purchased a property in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And it was, I did completely everything wrong. Everything wrong with that transaction.
No, that's how you learn.
Sounds like a perfect start.
But it turned out to be really good. It was a learning curve, but it was just a matter of, wow, I can actually do this more. It was appealing to me, and I never really got out of it. Got married last year, and during the wedding, I'm going to see a house in North Minneapolis.
That's good. That reminds me of a quick little story that on my wedding morning, I bought my first duplex.
Nice.
My wife would have killed me.
Which was a larger commitment, actually, than getting married.
It was. Signing the purchase agreement on the hood of my truck. I'm like, yeah, with my brother, I'm like, this is not smart. So how about you, Nolan? Tell me a little bit about yourself and why you got into real estate and how we got together.
Well, I got into real estate for money. I moved out here in October from California. I graduated from college in 2015 and went straight to work in mortgages. It wasn't what I specialized in academically or anything. It was frankly just the first place that hired me. And so I kind of started there. I started as a loan processor, hated that, quit after a week. I didn't quit. I just asked my manager. I said, hey, I want to switch departments. I think I'd prefer to do something more sales-oriented. This is a lot of, data reading.
Data entry.
Yeah. And a lot of, just kind of just learning the language was a pain for me in that department. So I moved over to the sales end. Prior to that, though, I had done a little property management work for some friends of mine back home that invest in rental properties.
Sure.
So I've kind of had my hand in one aspect or another of the real estate industry. And then
is that kind of what got you into real estate sales then? Or
yeah, I think so. Okay. I moved out here for love. I got talked into, picking Minnesota instead of talking my girlfriend into coming to California, which I'm okay with, because it's frankly the cost of living out here is way more manageable. And I knew when I got out here, I thought, okay, well, this is a good opportunity to try and pick up some investment properties of my own. I wanted to get some rental income coming in and I wanted to learn the industry. So I saw this job listing on Indeed and it seemed like the perfect opportunity to learn about the industry and kind of guide myself in my own, real estate projects. And
you bet.
So now here I am, and I've got a boss that doesn't pay me, and
it works out perfect.
I'm learning a lot, yeah.
Interestingly enough, both of these guys just bought their first house. Yeah, you just closed, right, Maynard?
We just closed, and I spent last weekend moving in.
Ah, nice. Yeah, Nolan closes, what, next month?
Yeah, end of September. We're scheduled to close September 20th. My lender's trying to move that forward a bit. What I noticed, too, with my home buying experience was I didn't feel the need to be as picky. Like when I was renting, when we were looking for a place to rent, I felt like I was so, everything just needed to be perfect because that was money I was never going to get back in any way at all. But when we were looking to buy, it was like, well, it doesn't necessarily need to be as perfect. If I want to fix something, I can put my own money into it to fix it. And either way, I'm paying into my own equity in the future. It'll pay off ultimately. So I thought that was a kind of a refreshing aspect of shopping as a buyer versus a renter.
Yeah, that's very true. Because I felt the same way with our place where we just purchased. It's just a matter of, okay, I know I'm not going to be there for, 10 years. That's not the plan. The plan was buy it, live in it, rent it quickly as I can.
Right.
And
move on to something else.
And move on to something else. So the thing I was thinking about the other day, it's just a matter of, okay, what if I keep doing this as a repeat process, buying something small, keep buying something small. Eventually it adds up. You collect a quarter a day and you put that quarter in a box.
Right.
2 weeks from now, how much do you have?
Right.
And the best part about buying something small is that lower price range will always have a buyer, no matter where the economy is, or always have a renter.
Exactly.
Under 250, you're always going to have this renter or this buyer, and you kind of get into those higher ranges, and it gets a little more dicey.
Yeah, the percentage of population that can afford that home is so much higher on the lower end.
That's right.
Every time you skip up by $10,000, you're leaving a couple percentage points behind.
One thing I'd like to ask Nolan and Maynard is, since you guys are primarily kind of focusing on that millennial buyer, what is your opinion on the millennial buyer? Are they looking for big and fancy? Are they looking for kind of small and simple? Or have you run into that?
I actually have a millennial buyer right now that I'm going to be writing an offer today.
Oh, good.
And we went to see probably about 15 homes. Oh. and it's a matter of time. They're sold by the time we get there.
Sure.
But the things that they're looking for is the cleanness of the property.
Okay.
And the tech. One house we went into had a analog thermostat. The other house we went into had a Nest system where it links up to everything, your phone. I mean, app-based stuff is where we're going to be. Actually, I mean, if you look at it, you know, from home security, everybody wants everything on their phone.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of, okay, home security, lights, your Nest system.
Temp control.
Everything like that. Yep. It just makes it easier.
Who's at my front door?
Exactly. So it's just a matter of, you know, the tech for millennial buyers, they like it.
So how about you, Nolan? What are you seeing in the market and typically for your buyers? Is the millennial buyer, in your opinion, more about big and fancy or small and simple? Or what's your experience been?
I agree as a millennial buyer myself that newer. I mean, I think they want to stay away
new,
from
new, clean, fresh, fresh start kind of thing.
New is the biggest priority, you know, more so than size or location.
Even location.
Yeah,
okay.
I think so.
And I think what Maynard was saying kind of plays into that. I think with technology, our need for location goes down just a little bit, right?
I would agree.
I mean,
you can do everything on your computer.
Uber Eats and Amazon will deliver to you. And so, therefore,
whether you're in East Bethel or South Minneapolis.
Right?
Well, since we're on the millennial thing, I'd like to ask you guys, I've been kind of all over the board on this one, but there's so many ways to communicate these days. You've got text, call, you've got, you know, Facebook Messenger, you've got all these different things. What have you guys seen is the preferred method of communication?
Probably social media, Facebook. Facebook is the go-to, and Twitter.
It is amazing to me that I will get Facebook Messenger messages, and then I will text these people back, and they won't respond.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll do the Messenger, and they'll get right back to me.
Yep.
I'm like, how is this even possible?
Yeah,
It's
mind-blowing.
It's a higher level of intimacy, the texting. So it's like, you know,
they don't want to be that intimate.
Yeah, the more comfortable, the closer you are with a person, then it scales up to like phone calls and FaceTiming and then in-person interaction, you know? And then right. So the lowest level of that is, you know, a social media.
Because
message,
there's no
whether it's a Facebook or an Instagram. That's how, you know,
there's no commitment.
Social media is probably like they screen your calls and text.
Sure. Mm.
Because you can see it. You know, Facebook has this crazy thing. It's called location. Mm. And you can see what's going on.
Yeah, I'm fairly unplugged from that world compared to the average millennial. I'm a little bit out of touch with that aspect of millennial culture.
Sure.
I do have a Facebook. I'm not super active on it.
Well, I think social media is like anything else. It can be good, bad, or otherwise. It just depends on how you use it and how often you're on it.
So right.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you being here, Maynard and Nolan, and we'll see you out in the field.
You too.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
This has been the Troy Martinson Group Real Estate Podcast. Troy and his group are licensed real estate agents in the state of Minnesota with the brokerage RE/MAX Results. You can find them online at sweethomeminnesota.com. This show has been produced by Minnesota Podcasting, and they can be found online at mnpodcasting.com. The views expressed on this show are those of the individual participants and may not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of RE/MAX Results or Minnesota Podcasting.